temperatures down to the upper 30s.
Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday, as of around 45.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next to you.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome, welcome, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I got a great, this is going to be a great 2 hours for all of you out here. For me, it's 1 hour with Emma Farrell, and it's talking about something. Benny, you're going to relate to this. It's talking about something that this girl from New York City, the Bronx, probably never imagined in a million years that I would be able to have a halfway intelligent conversation with Emma Farrell. Just Emma Farrell. Just like even like a little bit of a conversation. Just a little bit. And when you grow up in a place where your dad takes a look at the yard, so this is my yard here. You all can't see it, but if you were looking over there, you'd see this yard. And you'd see I put little gardens over there, and I got a gardener. My dad got one of his buddies to bring in a cement truck and cemented all the grass. But the minute I started to do this show in 2003, and even before that, I had experiences with one of my mentors, incredible woman, and my first trip into the desert where I thought there was nothing in the desert that actually lived, and then I was shocked to see what the plant life in the desert is really like. But here's what is so exciting about Emma and her book, Journey with Plant Spirits. Here's what I love about how Linda sets people up for the show. I'm just going to hold up the book for a minute right there. And Jacob, you've got pictures of the book, yeah? Okay. When you come down with a mystery disease, like I did, and I have to call it a mystery disease, and I know my healing friends are going to, like, email me and, like, don't say disease. But when your body starts to break down and the regular things you know, let's just call it conventional medicine. I don't know what else to call it. But when those things don't work and you happen to live in the Pacific Northwest, the home of Bastyr University, Dr. Darvish, all the people that practice natural medicine, all the people like our friends that own an herbal store, you take a walk on a pathway that enables me to be so excited about Emma's book. Because what I discovered along the way to becoming who I am today is that if we don't believe we can communicate and work with plants and tree spirit, can do it for not just healing, but our personal development, our spiritual connection, then boy, we are missing on the majestic, absolutely majestic energy of the universe that was given to us in such an abundant gift. We're missing out. So any chance I get to do a show like this, I'm all over it. I want you to meet Emma, plantconsciousness.com, plant spirit healer, a shamanic teacher, co-founder of groundbreaking London event Plant Consciousness. You're going to hear why, in today's world, her message and her book has never, ever, ever been more important. And it's great to have you.
Oh, thank you, Pat. It was a beautiful introduction, and thank you for inviting me onto your show. It's an honor.
And I'm not kidding. If you'd have come on when I first started the show in 2003, I probably wouldn't have some of the questions I have. But when I'm away, like I've been away for about 4 weeks now, back with family, and I say to Jessica, please don't forget to water my plants. Please don't forget to talk to the plants, water the plants. They hear you. Everybody looks at me like I've lost my mind. But somewhere along the way, we get tapped by the energy of this. And I want to know from you, in your own words, in your own journey, something about this passion and purpose you have for helping us all understand this better touched your heart. I don't know if it touched it by something traumatic, or were you just born to love the green?
Well, I think we all are, aren't we?
I hope we remember that.
Well, that's the perfect point. When we start to open ourselves up to the natural world in this kind of consciousness way, and this understanding that there is a cross-species communication that's possible, we're actually just remembering it. We're not actually creating something new. That's why it can touch certain people in certain ways, because they've probably had past lives where they've done that, or, you know, got indigenous lineages, or just simply that our ancestors just used to live in such a much more symbiotic way with nature. And so for me, I had to live in the desert myself for 9 years to realize, oh, I really miss nature, and I was getting quite sick and depressed. And then when I'd fly home to my mum's in France, and I'd be on all this lush, beautiful environment, I suddenly would be enlivened again. And it just kind of struck me how important nature is. And so because I've been on a spiritual path most of my life, I've been a meditator since I was 14, and I've been a seeker of truth. I've always wanted to find out what makes me tick. I've always felt like I was boxed in my mind, so I studied Buddhism and meditation to understand myself better, because I felt that I wasn't operating or functioning to my full capacity or potentiality. And so once I was kind of on that and deeply on that path then and realized that I really needed nature, I realized that actually, you know, you can speak to nature. And I had some quite profound experiences with some stronger plants. And this just opened me up to the idea of communicating with all of nature and all of plants and trees. And once I did, I realized that actually this is our true spirituality. There isn't any name for it, really. You know, we have to label it, but, you know, there isn't any name for it. It's just who we are. We're part of nature. We are nature.
Mm-hmm.
And so nature is our direct connection to source, because it is the pure expression of Mother Nature and of source energy. And so I suddenly didn't need all the dogma from the Buddhist tradition, etc., which even, you know, the essence of it is so beautiful. But I could just talk directly to spirit in my back garden. And that was the beauty of it for me. I realized that we've lost such a deep connection to nature, but we can all do it in our backyard.
I love this. And not only do I love what you just shared, because this is such a message for our time. You know, I spend a lot of time, I coach women, but I spend a lot of time, you know, sometimes not breathing and hitting the pause button. I talked about this yesterday on the show. The magic of hitting the pause button and hitting the pause button and reveling in the nature-bound beauty and power that is around us. And I was really struck by this in preparing to talk with you, because as I was reading the book again, I hit so many different things that I did want to touch upon that I missed the first time through the book. And that is the magic of this, and how the magic of this has been so many thousands of years of our ancestry and our lineage. I mean, I was really struck by
I really had fun with the part of the book where you talk about the Celtic tradition, and which has become extremely popular these days. But in the end, you talk about operating from wholeness. And it's so hard to imagine, right, Emma, how well we have gotten from, how well we have gotten away from wholeness. You know, we could spend time in our society in any given day and not take a moment to take off our shoes and walk on the grass just for 20 seconds or not even think about it. Powerful. In your words, and of course in the many words in your book, how powerful is our journey with plant spirits? What can we learn from what we've learned and perhaps forgotten?
Well, the first thing really is on the inward journey is to look at ourselves. And so it's very easy to want to get answers for what's going on in the world, but actually what the plants teach is that our external world is a reflection of our inner world. And so whatever's happening in our life is a reflection of what's happening to us on our inner planes. And so the beauty and magic of plants is that they reflect our consciousness back at us. So you can ask the plants and the trees anything, and they will tell you the truth. It's probably the last bastion of truth we've got left in this world,
yeah,
are the plants and the trees and the mountains and the rivers. And so we can, if we've got an issue, if we've got an emotional issue, if we're suffering with kind of some depression or we're suffering with frustration or anger issues or whatever the issue is, there'll be an answer for that in nature, because each plant or tree carries its own unique frequency, its own collection of frequencies. And so in the book, it teaches you how to look at this energetic framework or this mixture of frequencies within each plant and tree, so you can understand which tree will be good for you according to what issue you've got.
I love this. I want to make sure everybody here, I want to make sure you all know, you can find out specifically about the book by going to the website Journey. It's this, Journeys with an S, Journeys with an S, with plantspirits.com. That's one way. The other way to really look at this is to go directly to Emma's site, and I want to make sure you have that because it is, like, amazing. You can subscribe to her newsletter and just be on top of what she's sharing, and so you can decide. It's plantconsciousness.com. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, what do you want to know? Is there a plant energy herb you want to find out more about? I know there's one for me. There's actually two for me. 1-800-930-2819, or type your question over in Facebook, and Jacob or Olivia will make sure we get it. But have you wondered why you're drawn to something? And it could be something even like a tincture. And there's a very specific tincture I'm drawn to. My naturopath doesn't understand it, but she doesn't fight with me anymore. When we come back, are our plants talking to us, with us, in advance of a remedy we may need? That's what Emma's going to talk about when we come back, everybody. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
When we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out. You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
You're driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off. You're killing it in the mom game. But did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to the Boss Up Babe radio show, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive. Every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365DailyHustle.com. Parenting isn't about perfection. I think we all know that. Parenting is about being present and honest, having compassion for your child and for yourself, communicating consciously and loving unconditionally. Tune in to the Awakened Parent Project with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday at noon Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to be an empowered parent through the techniques of the Conscious Parenting Community. To learn more about Susan, visit SusanDolce.com.
It takes courage to step into your calling and go for your dream. Sabotage monsters can get in your way, preventing you from reaching your potential. You can choose to struggle alone, or you can choose community and support, someone to walk beside you, meeting you where you are. If you are ready to make real and lasting change, Coach Christine Clark is here for you. Find out more about one-on-one coaching and group programs with Coach Christine at sunglowtransformation.com.
Ready to branch out? Take a leap of faith. Tune in to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford-Mills on TransformationTalkRadio.com to equip, empower, and enlighten yourself. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dreams that sets your soul on fire. So, get fearlessly ready and get powerfully rooted in your yes. So live it up, love it up, and let it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Okay, great book, Journeys with Plant Spirits. I have three copies, Benny. To give away, Olivia, if you're monitoring social media as well. I want to get at that right away, 1-800-930-2819. And I just want to give a shout-out for generosity from our friends at Inner Traditions and especially Manzanita. Thank you, Manzanita, who knows us very well. First of all, inviting Emma to join on the show today because we're in a time now where we really do need to look at and embrace some of the wisdom traditions, I believe. And your book, it doesn't really leave much untouched, but I want to get back. I know later on I want to talk about the plant medicine wheel, so definitely that. But I want to get back to something I said before the break, and that is, can we take time to really lean into what we resonate with? During the break, I shared my roses with you and a particular color, and everybody that knows me knows that I've got to have roses around. I don't know why. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know the energy of them. I just know that there's something about them. The other thing for me is I also mentioned to you, I don't care what form it comes in, I must have a past life with juniper. Well, it's sort of a normal thing to do is to, isn't it? See, we think it's abnormal to relate to things like this, but your book says it's so natural, right?
Yeah, it's all about resonance. When we work with plants and trees, the whole thing is about resonance and frequency. So when you get attracted to a particular plant or flower, it feels like it's calling you. And so there might be something in, you know, we have to pay attention. It's all about paying attention to the detail and the more subtle things that come to us. That's the more shamanic side of things. but also, you know, when we work with essence, flower essences, you know, sometimes it's just you take the essence, the one that you resonate with, the one that's kind of jumping out at you, you know, and so, yeah, and then, of course, we can have past lives where we're very connected to certain, especially trees, you know. Oak is a really strong connection for me. I seem to connect to that tree very easily, and so I think, well, I must have a karmic connection to that tree. So of course, you know, why not?
You know, I want to just pick up on something in your book. May I read this from your book? Would you mind?
Of course.
If I read this? I just want to tell everybody that's going to get a copy of the book, and we're giving three copies of away right now, 1-800-930-2819. And Charlene, go ahead and call in again. I want to just read this, and it comes right before becoming the plant medicine wheel, right? And I love this. I actually wrote it down to remind myself. And what you say is, the mantra of plant spirit healing is to know thyself in all aspects and dimensions, in every moment of every day, to live a full and deeply meaningful life. Knowing yourself means having the awareness of both your ancestral lineage, where your genes come from, and your spiritual lineage, the trajectory that your eternal self has taken to arrive to this present moment.
So we're a combination of both of those things, you know, our genes, where do our genes come from, who are our ancestors, you know, what's our family name, you know, but then our soul has taken a different trajectory, perhaps, and we, you know, perhaps we have been our ancestors as well, so that's where they can kind of cross over. So, you know, our soul, where is the beginning, where have we come from, you know, there's a lot of kind of interest in off-planet star origins at the moment, isn't there? But, you know, there are people who come from different dimensions and interdimensions, the other world, for example. And so, you know, we can go back to our mythological past with this, if you want, you know, if you want to go that far back. But at least when I'm talking about know thyself, it's just at least know what are your significant past lives, because they are the power that you bring into this life. They are the kind of probably the main karmas you have to deal with in this life.
Mm-hmm.
And so just exploring our present self and where our blockages are, we can understand ourselves, because we are a result of all of those things. So
yeah.
Just by looking at ourselves in the present moment, we can understand ourselves in our past as well.
I'm starting to do that more and more, but I love the way that you presented the invitation in this book, and especially, and there's so much more in the book I could read from, but I needed to get to this part to kind of set this up for the medicine wheel. And Charlene, we're going to get right to you. Charlene's one of our callers, because one of the things you say that I'm an underliner, like I underline and I write on books. Mystery is what lies at the depth of the human soul. Without mystery, would not be driven to uncover the truths that lie beneath the layers of dust in the attic of our mind.
Mm.
It is such a powerful statement, and if we could take only 5 minutes a day to really take that in, what can we imagine, Anna? How would our lives perhaps change? What would be some of the insights we might get to get rid of lack and scarcity and just know we are so coddled in so many ways?
Well, you know, if we really stripped back and shone the torch into all those kind of dark recesses of our mind and stripped away all those fears and doubts we have about ourselves, and we start to look at our eternal spirit, that soul aspect, that eternal aspect of ourselves, then we realize how truly amazing we are, and we wouldn't have half of the problems that we have in the world, you know, because we are all angelic, we're all divine, you know, we're all very, very powerful, and we've just been kind of, we've been squashed and we've forgotten over the eons of time we've been here and reincarnated here. But yeah, if we can really work with the plants to help show us these dusty corners, then we can really do some transformational work. And that's the beauty of the plants. They help us to kind of have these evolutionary leaps.
Yeah, we're going to talk a lot more about that, but I want to go to the phones. I want to just, Benny, is it okay? Can we bring Charlene on before the break?
Yeah, she's there. Go ahead.
Hi, Charlene. Welcome to the show. How can we help you today? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to both of you, to everybody. I actually collect, there's two specific plants, and I was just wondering, like, this book is really exciting because, like, I'm so drawn to plants, but these are my favorite plants, and I'm going to be buying some more today, but bonsai and the money tree. I just love them. Like, I usually have two in the house at all times.
Okay. What was your question?
Would you like to know more about them or what's attracting you?
Yeah, I'd like to know more about the, especially the bonsai. Like, it's because they are pretty picky. You have to know how to keep them alive and stuff, but the energy that comes from it.
Yeah. Well, bonsais are quite, they're not the most happiest plants, unfortunately, because they've been kind of constricted. I mean, and there's many types of bonsai, aren't there? There's many types of trees and plants created into bonsai. But because they've not been allowed their true expression and their true to express their true gesture, then they're kind of really constricted. So you might find it's quite, if you want to talk to your plant, you might find it's quite difficult to talk to the bonsai, that it doesn't really speak or communicate that well, because they're not the happiest plants. You might have a bonsai that is very happy. You know, I'm not saying this, it's not a stereotype. We can't stereotype plants either. However, with your money tree, then this will be a much more talkative plant, I imagine. And although I've not worked with money plant myself, it's very easy to just kind of sit down and just get yourself into a nice meditative state, you know, a calm, think into your heart. We communicate to plants through the heart. So really make sure you think about something you're really grateful for, and that gets you beautifully into the heart. And then just see what happens. Just allow yourself to open up to the money plant and see what it says. And when we have plants that are used to being around humans, and money plants really are, you know, because they've been worked with for good luck and abundance, etc., then the spirit of the plant is much more talkative and communicative. So you should find it fairly easy to communicate. So good luck.
You know what I'm really struck by with both of those two plants? And we could talk about this a little bit. My understanding of both plants is they're Asian. They come from the Asian culture. And I'm using that very broadly because it's a very broad, but there's a Chinese money plant, and I don't know which one you have. But it's so fascinating that out of all the plants Charlene could have selected, this is what really gets me excited, right? If they truly come from that culture, I wonder what Charlene's relationship is with that culture. You see what I'm saying, Charlene?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Is it our ancestors? My money tree has grown to almost 6 feet tall.
Whoa.
One of them, and I just got another one. So my money tree is very happy.
Wow. You know, it's fascinating. Yeah. We're going to talk about this when we come back. I'm going to leave this odd note. I'm going to let Emma think about this. I have a really abundant, we call it a spider plant. I don't know why we call it that, but it's called that. And it has so many little babies on it. And somebody said to me the other day, I'm not surprised. Aren't you the one that won't kill spiders? Aren't you the one that will pick a spider up and take a spider outside, even if you have to walk 30 feet to do that, Pat? Isn't that you? Now, I don't know the relationship between a spider and that plant. I just find it now more interesting to explore what Emma calls the mystery, because there's a curiosity to know oneself. Out of all the plants that I have, and I have quite a few, that one just unbelievably just want. As a matter of fact, when I came back, I had a couple of people over, and they just like, I got to cut the babies off here. You got to give us some of your babies. When we come back, what are you relating to? But more importantly, how do we take energy, as Emma has done so beautifully in the book? I love this part of the book. When we come back, Charlene, get ready for this. We're going to talk about the medicine wheel. We're going to talk about the plant medicine wheel, which we don't really talk about ever. But Emma's got this going on. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
Been on life's roller coaster trying to figure out what to do next? Then join Greta, Lee, Yvonne, and the Realm of Beings each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Take the dust off your wings and fly to the highest heights in your thoughts and actions. Express your greatness. Be a champion for yourself, and we'll see you there on Shifting Impressions Conversations with the Realm of Beings. Been on life's roller coaster trying to figure out what to do next? Then join Greta, Lee, Yvonne, and the Realm of Beings each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio.
Day-to-day living can be difficult in our world today. Most of us don't know how to live a peaceful, joy-filled existence. Learn how to break through these barriers and live a transformative life on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa. Every day living in peace. Every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Dr. Lisa, visit EducationThroughEngagement.com.
Yes, what? You don't need to wait until the new year to set new goals for yourself. Hi, I'm Joan Marlowe, the host of Awareness to Action, and I'm taking this concept to a whole new level. I've developed a program to take your awareness to action in 90 days. Let me introduce you to your day one. Day one can start any day you choose, so why not now? We will use powerful brainstorming, mastermind, visioning, and goal-setting techniques to open your awareness of what you really want in your life and take action with intention to get there. Choose to work with me one-on-one or in a small group. Let's connect, lift each other up, and hold each other accountable. I'm offering a free consult to design your program. Visit my site, peacefulhealing.com, to connect with me, and let's find out when your day one will begin.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com.
Everybody, welcome back. I'm just going to, Jacob, you don't mind if I do this. I know Jacob and Olivia, you all are producing the video, the TV version of this, but I just want to hold this up. Okay. And then when you go to, there are two websites, actually. Emma, let's get them both websites. I know Inner Traditions has put up a website just for the book, but then I really want people to connect with you because what you've created is a forum. And if they subscribe to your newsletter, there's just so many ways that people can continue to learn about the power of this. Would you mind sharing how people can do that with you, please?
Yeah, sure. So on plantconsciousness.com, I've got various ways in which people connect with me, depending on what they're looking for. So I've got an online course where they can just kind of learn how to put the book into action through kind of video teachings. I've got a healing service where I can help people. I do healings for my clients and clearings with my plant spirit team. And then I've got an apothecary where you can experience the plant spirits for yourself through vibrational plant remedies. So, yeah.
And I want to just, when you go to plantconsciousness.com website, there's a way for you to look at the other publications. You could also look at one of my favorites to really talk about. We're going to get into this right now when we talk about, you know, the plant medicine wheel. Energy field clearings, and, you know, there's so much that we could learn from this. But in addition to that, you're going to be able to look at shamanic training, remote healing. Please just go there and just take a look. There's just so many things, not to mention it's a beautiful site, just beautiful site. I want to know what is on your site. I want to know what that image is.
That's mugwort, and this is the spirit of mugwort here behind me. So mugwort, Artemisia vulgaris, so sage is Artemisia tridentata, and so we have our native Artemisia is mugwort.
Okay.
So she's one of my main allies and main plant spirits, and she's amazing.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah.
I want to talk, and I know that I want you to speak, really, pretty much for the rest of the show. I was struck by the Chapter 6, Becoming the Plant Medicine Wheel, because it goes on. And as I went on and I looked at it and I went back and thank you, thank you, thank you. I cannot thank you enough for putting a chart in the book. Sorry.
I'm a Virgo, so I like charts and boxes.
Yes, I thought of you and Linda. Linda's like a triple Virgo. I'm a quadruple Sagittarius, so I don't even know why I asked that.
I'm triple Virgo, too.
This would be a spreadsheet Linda would put together. But I love it because as I was reading through, I wanted to ask you, what led you to discover / create / become the voice for this powerful plant medicine wheel? And I say powerful because I've been doing this since 2003, and I've read a lot of books. But this is the first time that I've picked something up and I've seen that there's a way for me and others to integrate the individual things that they may have into this very powerful medicine wheel. How did this come to you?
I've just had great teachers, but I've also been practicing it continuously for 10 years before I even wrote the book. You know, and doing a lot of inner work and working with the plants continuously. So, I learned a lot just from tuning into the native traditions of my islands, the British Isles. You know, we have a really rich culture of magical traditions, of Celtic shamanic tradition, and folklore and the other world. And so, when I'd lived overseas for about 15 years, when I got back and it was the land that called me back, I just came back and sank back into the land and just consumed a lot of plants and just spent a lot of time with them, learned how to, I had a great teacher like Pam Montgomery in Vermont, and she taught me how to do plant diets where you spend a certain amount of time with a particular plant, just consuming that plant. And then putting it into the context of the medicine wheel, into the context of ritual. And so when we approach the plants, our common native plants, through this ritualistic process, they come alive. They really, you enter into a really dynamic process with them when you work with the medicine wheel and this ritualistic and ceremonial process.
It is ceremonial. One of the things you say in the book, and I apologize in advance if I misquote it because I couldn't find the exact words, is that you talk about the medicine wheel layer, and thank you, because it is Celtic, and or at least that's what I read. You talk about it creating, I believe you call it the foundation of sacred. Right?
Yeah.
Can we talk about that for a minute? Because my first vision quest, my mentor was very clear about how to create the wheel. Not when you enter it, make sure you close the door. Now, I'm not going to take time during the show to talk about what that experience was like, but I had never experienced anything quite like that. Can we talk about the importance of foundational sacredness?
Yeah, so we've forgotten what sacredness is in the West. Yeah. And so when we get back to these indigenous practices where they are, you immerse yourself in them, we can start to come back into our integrity, our true integrity, back to our true self. And we ourselves are sacred. But the plants teach us that by approaching them in this sacred way, this really respectful way, this nurturing way, that they really don't let us get away with anything. You know, we get told off if we're not being in our integrity and not being respectful. Then, it really helps us get back into the parts of ourselves that we've lost. And so what the medicine wheel does is that when you open a sacred space and you call in those seven directions, which is a tradition, that in many cultures, you're calling in all of the known universe. You're calling in all that is, basically. And so what that does is it amplifies the energy in which you're sat, but it also makes it a safe space for you. So if you understand the directions and the qualities of the directions, so we've got air in the east, and that's all about the mind, and it's very all about fluidity, and the birds live in the east and the air, etc. And so they carry the quality of the air element. South, and you've got the fire element, and so each of the plants as well, they carry these qualities, and they express these elements and directions and qualities of these directions in their own unique way. And so we can bring in the plants to protect. And learn how to work with the plants to create this medicine wheel and build up this medicine wheel of plant allies so that we can build a stronger and stronger space so we can do stronger and deeper inner work and deeper transformation. So the deeper you go and the more you work with the medicine wheel in this way, just the more your inner landscape expands, the more you understand yourself better, the more you understand your place in the world better, and the more you understand your power better and your true power and your sacredness, like you say.
I love talking about this, and I want to really talk a little bit more detail about the medicine wheel. There's so much more in the book as well, and I want to make sure we mention it. You know, one of the things we talk about is awakening, or you talk about in your book, awakening mythos or awakening, and emotional balance. So you not only give us this aspect for us to incorporate in our daily lives, but you take us through philosophies throughout the book to help us understand. Now, why is this important to me? When I moved into this house in May, it was a very unexpected move. I didn't expect to move, ever. When I moved here, my friends who were moving in boxes and boxes of things, did not understand how absolutely focused / obsessed I was with the land and how I kept talking about, I'm going to put a sacred garden and altar there, and then I'm going to plant there, and then in the front I'm going to do there. And they just looked at me and thought, you got to be kidding. We have a truck filled with stuff that's got to go in a house that we don't know where to put it. And you're planting gardens? After reading your book, here's what I realized, and maybe you can help all of us with this. I don't know that I was planting gardens. Each of the places that I ultimately did things, they were in different directions.
Ooh.
I didn't say that. So I just want to be clear. I didn't say, that's the east, that's what I'm going to do. I didn't go through that process, or that's the west, or over in the east, I'm going to put Mother Mary over there. I didn't do it. How much of our inner knowing gets ignited? And I don't mean just I woke up today, but our past lives. See, I want to get back to what you said, because both the medicine wheel and then the philosophies you share with us, they seem to ignite things. Can you talk to that?
Yeah,
Yeah, so a couple of differences to say there is that the more you work with plants and the more you recognize and learn more about yourself, the more you clean your energy field, because our energy field is our mind. You know, the mind, body, energy field, it's all one. You know, I know we separate them out, but it's all one. And so the more that we do with the plants, the more we rewild ourselves, then the cleaner and higher vibration is our energy field. And so, therefore, the sharper is our intuition. The more in contact with our intuition we are, the more in contact we are with our higher self, because there's not those blockages there in the energy field to prevent that intuition and those connections and messages and inspirations coming through. So, so that's one thing. And so the more we work with plants, the stronger that becomes. So we can just operate from this place of higher mind without even really realizing it. It just becomes normal. And so what you are doing is just tuning in just to your higher self. It's just like, oh, that's what I'm going to need. You know, it doesn't have to be rational. It doesn't have to be kind of logical. It just is. And it's all fine. And then the other thing is that we receive inspiration from the plants and trees themselves as well. So especially plants which are solar plants, like St. John's Wort or the oak, these are plants that are associated with the sun. And so they're associated with inspiration and creativity and the light of joy. And so these are all very uplifting and joyous and inspirational things that can come to us. So, yes, it comes from the plants, and then it comes from ourselves as well.
You know, there's something, I'm reading your book, and I will say this, there's something that I become more and more aware of as I look back, especially moving in here, that what I planted was watered. I mean, what do I mean by that is, it wasn't going to be okay for me to let a day or two go by to a plant I just planted that I knew I had to water. So I would water, and it's kind of an odd thing, because a lot of times in the summer we don't water things; we just let things die. I didn't overuse the water, but I was so drawn to make sure in the front that I planted an evergreen or some type of evergreen. Now my backyard, you can't see it, beautiful evergreen. I got a tree; I got three trees out here. I can't even imagine how old these trees are. But there's something about the energy of this that is healing. And that's what I found. Your book talks to that. I got a question that just came in from June. Thank you, June. Thank you for your question. And it's actually a two-part question. It's great. I'm like you, Dr. Pat. Everybody abbreviates, so I apologize. Afraid of making a mistake. Can you ask Emma, you? Okay. Is there a wrong way to do a medicine wheel? Am I making it too big? Am I making it too small? I don't know where I've picked up these phobias. But can you give us some guidance on how to go about this? And if there are guidelines, I love
that
question.
Yeah, well, you can't really go wrong, to be honest. But you just have to make sure that it's manageable for you. So everybody's got a different amount of space. So you could just actually create a medicine wheel on a small, you know, if you've only got a small table, for example, just to get an altar cloth and create a medicine wheel in small size. You know, I've got a nice big, a kind of a 2-meter by 2-meter medicine wheel that I use for my retreats, and an altar cloth with a medicine wheel printed on it. So there are lots of, it's beautiful, lots of ways to do this. And you can mark out your medicine wheel with crystals, if you like, or with objects from nature, like acorns or bits of plants. And so you can build it that way. So it really depends on how much room you've got. But actually, you know, whenever we're working in a magical way, and this is a magical system that we're working with, it's really what we resonate with, what feels right for us. So you have a different medicine wheel in the States. To what we have in the Celtic. It's similar, but slightly different, because you've got a different topography, you've got a different kind of culture, etc. So your medicine wheel is slightly different, and that's okay, because it's for you, you know, it's your tradition. You just will place things differently on the medicine wheel. And so there isn't a right and wrong way to do it, per se. It's not like the Celtic medicine wheel is the only medicine wheel everyone should use. Not at all, you know. People use their own magical systems. It's what's right for you. What is going to manifest for you is what you resonate with mm-hmm. and what you've created.
And I want to address the second part of this, because if you get the book, in the second part of the book, that what you've done is you've listed, I think, 13 plants and tree spirits. And as I went through this, I was really struck. I mean, I got the dandelion and you had me. But I went through and I just thought, oh, my gosh, this is so beautifully powerful. And yet I was struck by the ease by which we could call this in and do it.
Yeah,
that's the way you wrote the book, by the way. You wrote it in a way that we don't have to have a PhD in this.
Yeah, for sure, you know. This is part of our birthright. This is part of who we are. And again, when we work with the plants and we clean up our energy field, it doesn't just sharpen our intuition, it sharpens our clairvoyancy. So, you know, I can see the plant spirits on my inner eye. And so I can speak with them and communicate with them. And so they appear to me in lots of different ways that I've explained in the book and their descriptions, etc. But they teach me. And so what I've put in the book is what they've taught me and how I can work with them. So you might work with dandelion and I might work with dandelion. And dandelion will teach us different things about its healing qualities and how it could help us individually, and it could be quite different. And so it really is a process of discovery and kind of a co-creation between you and the plant spirit, rather than, you know, just using a plant to help you heal from something. It's a co-creation, and between you can create something really magical and beautiful that's unique as well.
And
so,
you know, part of what you also talk about in the book is the symbolic nature of things, and I think that's also powerful. I want to ask you, I know we've only got a few minutes left, but I'm very struck by how in our pop culture right now that we are so bringing forward Celtic tradition. Now, let me tell you how I mean. There are more live streaming shows on things like Netflix and all of those places, right? All of those live streaming places. Traditions or have made us aware of Celtic traditions, but they don't really say it. There's an energy that seems to be coming forward, and those of us that are taking it in seem to want more of.
Yeah, I've not noticed that, actually. You know, and I've not been to the States for a long, long time, so I didn't know there was this kind of resurgence or interest mm-hmm. in Celtic traditions. But, you know, the British Isles have been known to be magical islands for millennia, and people would come here for the unique magic that's held in the rivers and the trees and the unique otherworld connection that we have, and the nature spirits and the elves and the trolls. And, you know, so we have this really strong tradition of magic here, and so I'm not surprised that you know, the magic spreads to around the globe at all. It's yeah, it's a special place.
I'm telling you, it's popping up in our pop culture. I mean, you could see it everywhere. I mean, there hardly ever isn't something mythical now that has just been created that doesn't have reference to elves. I mean, even in the latest Disney movie, The Eternals, the end of the movie, they bring in an elf energy character. I mean, that's what I'm trying to say, is we may not be acutely aware of it like you are, that that's what it is. But there is an energy. We want the magic, don't we?
Well, maybe Tolkien was right. And, you know, in Lord of the Rings, and, you know, that it's time for the elves and men to walk together again. And I think symbolically this is saying that let's remember where we come from. Let's remember our mythological and magical selves and our connection to these magnificent beings, because we need this now. We need to remember who we are in this great time of transition.
I just got a text message from one of our listeners. I'm just going to read it. Okay, Dr. Pat, truth be told, you're watching Witcher, aren't you?
I've seen that too.
You got me. Emma, thank you so much. One last question. Again, let us know how we can find out more about you. And I'd love to know your personal message. What are you going to lead us with today?
My personal message is that if you want to change your world, go within. The way out is the way in.
I love that.
Yeah. And you can find me at plantconsciousness.com.
Thank you so much. And everybody, the book, if you've just tuned in late, I just need to tell you, this is the book. It's available everywhere. And we'll make sure those of you that called in for the book, we will get it to you. Again, I want to thank you, Emma, for everything you're doing.
Thank you.
I want to thank our friends at Inner Traditions, Manzanita. Thank you again. And for all of you out there, you are the best audience on the planet. I hope there's something you heard today. We'll help you rise up, and we'll help you flourish. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
On this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Thursday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the town. As we starting to dry things out there on the roadways. Sunshine peeking through now. 405 northbound is still a little bit slow out of those S-curves up through the Kennedale Hill. But everywhere else, traffic's actually looking pretty good. And I hope you enjoy your afternoon and that sunshine. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time, it's the Live the Good Life Show with Sabrina Wright, connecting your physical and spiritual self.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. President Biden is at the Capitol pressing Democrats to get sweeping election reform legislation over the finish line. A key Senate Democrat is affirming her support for voting rights bills and the Senate filibuster. That requires 60 votes to move the bill forward.
The debate over the Senate 60-vote threshold shines a light on our broader challenges.
Arizona's Kirsten Sinema spoke on the Senate floor and said she's for the voting rights package that's in front of the Senate. However, she said there's no need to restate her long-held position supporting the filibuster. The House Speaker says she has supreme confidence in the House committee investigating last January's Capitol riot. California Democrat Nancy Pelosi said even if House Republicans refuse to testify, she believes the committee will still find the truth when it comes to January 6th. She said House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy has an obligation when it comes to finding the truth about January 6th, but said she has no intention of interfering with any work done by the committee. Utah officials are now acknowledging several mistakes in an August domestic incident report involving the late New York native Gabby Petito. Liz Warner reports.
A month before Petito's body was found in Wyoming, Utah police responded to a domestic disturbance call about Petito and fiancé Brian Laundrie, and an independent report released this week says it should have been classified as domestic violence. This would have required either an arrest or citation, along with notification to prosecutors. But the police report called it disorderly conduct, separating Petito and Laundrie for the evening. Price City Police Captain Brandon Ratcliffe conducted the review and said the incident was misclassified and Petito should have been cited or arrested, and he also noted police reports lacked details of injuries.
Queen Elizabeth is stripping Prince Andrew of his military titles and royal patronage. Buckingham Palace said in a statement the Duke of York will defend his civil lawsuit for sexual assault as a private citizen. Virginia Giuffre is suing Prince Andrew in a case alleging she was forced to have sex with Jeffrey Epstein's friends, including him, when she was 17. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
For 35 years, DonyCo Pet Clinic has provided comprehensive care for the animals of people in need. Funded by donations and powered by volunteers, DonyCo Pet Clinic keeps overhead to a minimum to ensure healing is at a maximum. Please join Team DonyCo and make a difference in the lives of people and their animals. Volunteer or donate today. DonyCo Pet Clinic. Log into DonyCo.org. That's DonyCo.org.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to Alternative Talk weather outlook for Thursday. We'll see some fog and rain likely this morning, but then it will taper off to mostly sunny skies by this afternoon. High temperatures around 51, 52 degrees. Tonight, increasing clouds, but no rain. Low temperatures dropping back down to about 40. For Friday and for Saturday, Mostly cloudy skies for the Tuesday break. High temperatures in the upper 40s to low 50s, with mostly cloudy skies for the overnight. Low temperatures down to the upper 30s. Clouds and rain back in the picture for Sunday, highs of around 45.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Get ready to uncover, develop, and celebrate the greatest you you can be. Welcome to the Live the Good Life Show with Sabrina Wright, connecting your physical and spiritual self. Sabrina is a holistic health and wellness advocate, consultant, encourager, and therapist, here to help you dive into self-care so you can be your own greatest advocate. Could you use a little direction? Sabrina takes a holistic, multifaceted approach. No part of your well-being is left behind. We all want to feel healthy, happy, and whole. So let's get to it. The Live the Good Life Show starts now.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Live the Good Life Show. I'm your host, Sabrina Wright. And every time we gather, my hope is that you're walking away with tools and resources that help you improve not only your self-care, but help you to live a good life. And today we are so fortunate to have Sue Hitzman with us in the house coming from beautiful sunny Florida. Let me tell you a little bit about Sue. She is nationally recognized neurofossil science and research educator, manual therapist, exercise physiologist, and the founding member of the Foster Research Society. That all sounds really pretty heady. And for such a young woman, that is quite a dynamic life investment. She's also the founder and creator of The Melt Method, a simple self-care technique that addresses the missing link to pain-free living. Hydrated, supple fascia, and a stable, balanced nervous system. She's authored two best-selling books and is the CEO of Longevity Fitness, Inc., an online consumer and professional education business. I want to welcome Sue Hitzman. I'm so excited. For such a young woman, you have such a very robust educational background. How did this actually unfold?
First of all, I'm so grateful to hear that 51 really is still young.
It is. Truly, it is, though.
It is. I mean, I feel like I'm at that halfway point of my life. But I think this has been a life journey of, when I was 11, my great-grandmother was a super spry, full-of-love woman, and in one span of a year, she was in a old folks home, and she didn't remember who I was, and I just remember saying to my aunt, what happened to great-grandma, and she said, she just got old, and I said, am I going to get old? She said, yeah. I go, how do you stop that from happening? And so I think at a maybe too young of an age, I saw aging as this horrible thing where you would forget everyone and that I was going to look like that or that was going to happen to me, and I would epitomize wellness and vitality when I was a kid with people like Jacqueline and Jane Fonda. So I got into the fitness industry very young, and then I went to get a master's in physiology and anatomy, and I got introduced to Leon Chaitow and Judy Delaney's work of neuromuscular therapy in my early 20s while going through my master's. And so I had this idea of the human body and how you could intervene without medicine and without doctors to actually heal a body. And I had gotten injured many times, and I got my body to heal. And it was in my late 20s, I woke up one day and the bottom of my foot hurt me, and I had no reason for it. I didn't step on it. Maybe I did step on a piece of glass because it was such an unusual pain that I had never experienced and had no definable source. And what started out as foot pain turned into this body-wide fatigue and ache, and nothing in my toolbox for neuromuscular therapy is really fixing it. And it sent me down this rabbit hole to discover what causes pain to become chronic. And back then, you know, Google became a thing. I typed in fascia on the internet, and I found this emerging field of neuroscientists and researchers and fascia researchers who were trying to uncover more about why pain became chronic beyond just the nervous system. What is it that caused pain to persist? And that's how I've kind of gotten myself out of fitness and into the healing arts to understand, you know, just how to both help myself. I gave myself an answer, but I've also been able to help lots of other people do the same.
If with the MELT method, you can do that. So what is MELT?
MELT is a simple self-care method that uses soft balls and rollers, and it basically simulates the therapeutic intervention like light touch manual therapy does. So we basically teach people how to actively participate in understanding some of the common mishaps that occur in the body, what I call common imbalances, and to identify stress or this issue in connective tissue that science is starting to understand is a key factor in persistent pain issues. And I always say, even if you, like 100% of the time your brain is what's producing your pain, but if pain is chronic, you have an issue in your connective tissue called fascia. And most people don't know what fascia is or that it's a renewable resource in the body. And I spent the last two decades trying to simplify science for the general public so that they could understand some of these missing elements beyond their musculoskeletal system and beyond diet and exercise to help themselves live a more active life, because there is a dirty little secret of fitness is that lots of people eat right and exercise and still have pain. So this was my opportunity to share this method. It started out as homework for my clients in a private practice back in the late 90s. And by 2004, I just knew I had something. I was helping thousands of people at that point. And so I coined the term MELT. And I thought, maybe I could teach this in a group environment, keep people out of my office. So that was a bigger problem, because then I had to develop a language that was even more simplified. But that's where it all emerged. And by 2010, I set off to write the book. And the book came out in 2013, became a New York Times bestseller. And now I've got 2,000 instructors worldwide. And together, we've just helped hundreds of thousands of people learn to live pain-free through this self-care methodology.
And it's a fantastic approach. Very rarely do you hear of practitioners or people in the health and wellness field who want to give their clients tools and resources so that they can take care of themselves, right?
Sure. I mean, I thought that too. This whole thing started with a client saying to me, you know, if you could just invent a way for me to do to myself what you do with your magic hands, I'd stay out of your office. And I'd be like, well, then I'd be unemployed. And, well, but that does actually sound like a really interesting idea. You know, I was like, I wonder if that is possible. And that was it. I instead of thinking, gosh, if I gave people homework, they wouldn't come back, I thought, gee, if I gave people homework, they'd get better faster, and then I could see new people and learn more from new people. And that is what happened. I went from seeing 50 people a year to over 500. So my practice, and that was it. Was by 2004, I just couldn't see any more people at that point, because there were just no more hours in the day. And that's where I thought, gosh, maybe I could bring everybody into a group. And really what I know about healing is when you come into a group and you share energy in a group environment, I mean, a healing in a group is probably one of the most powerful sensations you can sense. And it was just, I mean, probably one of the most enlightening times was just to see people limp in and walk out and realize, my gosh, this is real. It's beyond me that I'm helping people recognize that healing begins in themselves, and that if you can give people tools to go in their body and sense what they feel, which is really a call to action, because when you're in pain, you know, you want to tune it out. You're taking pain relievers to not be in your body.
Mm-hmm.
This was kind of a redirect for people, and it resonated. And so that was, I felt like I was connecting, and in the connection, that's where I really realized that's where healing begins, is to connect with one another and to allow ourselves to heal from the inside out.
Absolutely brilliant. As a body worker myself, it is difficult to get
your client to really reconnect with themselves because they're mentally and emotionally connected to the pain, and so you have to go through a huge re-education system so that they understand what's going on. I found Melt last year at through friends who had been talking to me over a couple of years, and I'm like, okay, all right, I'll check it out. And I finally did, and the first time I did my own ball treatment, my mind was blown because it had such a profound effect in my body with 10 minutes.
Yes.
I
know this is a ball.
It's a ball.
Yes.
It's a ball. Profound. Fortunately for me, I mean, there were a number of things that I was able to experience and identify in changes, so I was able to talk to clients and then just refer them to go get these products, get the DVD. I mean, the packages that you have are phenomenal, and there's so much more I have to share, ask you about, but we've got to go to a break real quick. But when we come back, I'd like to know, and I'm sure our readers do, is how does Melt address the fascia and the nervous system?
You want me to answer
that? Right?
Yeah.
No. When we come back. No, it's okay, because we can be talking all day. But when we come back, we'll be hearing how fascia and the nervous system are actually combined. And this is going to be breakthrough information for you that will be encouraging so that you can get your melt on.
Detoxing daily with zeolite takes away years of toxic buildup, restoring energy, restful sleep, clear focus, and allowing you to feel like new. There are many kinds of zeolite, and the zeolite with a perfect combination of structure and cation exchange capacity is called clinoptilolite. But not all clinoptilolite supplements work the same. Most zeolite particles are too big to get through the gut, so they only provide a digestive detox. And nearly all of them already have toxins inside the crystalline structure, so they can't detox the body. Others feature a synthetic zeolite, lacking the hundreds of studies done on natural zeolite. And some even claim to have zeolite molecular fragments, which implies they're missing the whole zeolite structure needed to work for detox. Thankfully, there is one zeolite supplement that is nano-sized for optimal absorption and whole-body detox. Purified and pre-filled with beneficial minerals for cation exchange, uses only natural clinoptilolite, which has GRAS status and is the subject of all the scientific research, and features whole zeolite for maximum detox. That zeolite is Pure Body Extra by Touchstone Essentials. With over 1 million bottles sold, Pure Body Extra is changing lives around the world. Its natural zeolite is nano-sized, proven pure, and optimized to help remove all the bad stuff that's been building up in your body for years. With a few simple, taste-free sprays throughout the day, you're covered 24/7. Pure Body Extra is backed by science, thousands of five-star reviews, and the money-back guarantee. If you're ready to experience the goodness that comes from being toxin-free, try Pure Body Extra today.
For more information, visit therightbalance.com. That's therightbalance.com.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Live the Good Life Show. I am here with Sue Hitzman of the Melt Method. And before we go further in our conversation about how does Melt address the fascia and the nervous system affecting pain, Sue has been so kind and gracious to be able to offer some gifts. So by calling in, the first five people who call in with their name, email address, and phone number will be receiving a mini ball kit. Now, if I'm not mistaken, yes, it's got a softball, a hardball. It's got some great stuff, right? Yep, a mini ball kit. Ooh, and the band. For the first five callers who call in with their name, address, and phone number will receive the ball kit. Also, too, when you go to meltmessage.com and order any of the other wonderful products, including the long soft roller and some of the bands, Sue's been gracious enough to extend a 10% discount off of your purchase by using the promo code LiveTheGoodLife. So truly, go check out the website, check out the products. You want to add this to your daily self-care routine, guaranteed. Okay, so Sue, if anybody wants to get in touch with you, in addition to the website, how would they find you?
Well, on top of the meltmethod.com website, I'm also very active on YouTube. I have a YouTube channel, and actually just for all of January and February, I'm doing a free live class every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'm also very active on Instagram. I'm always laying down some wisdom there. And also the Facebook page under Melt Method, so they can find me on any of those pages. And, yeah, that's probably the easiest way to connect.
Fantastic. What a way to start your year with all of this incredible free melt so that you can get your melt on and you can start changing your anatomy. So, Sue, we just touched a little bit earlier about pain. And you mentioned fascia and the connective tissue, as well as the nervous system. How does MELT address both the fascia and the nervous system at the same time?
Okay, well, I had mentioned it before, right, that the brain 100% of the time is what's sending us a message that something's wrong, right? And pain happens for a lot of reasons. Accidents, illness, injuries, even heartbreak and the flu can cause your brain to send you a pain signal that something's not right. But the body has this three-dimensional fluid-based architectural matrix called fascia, which is where all of these sensory nerves live in. And even if you don't have pain, everybody has experienced this adaptation in fascia that just is caused by daily living. So I'm going to point out what we call a pre-pain signal. Like when you sit for long periods of time, and when you get up, you feel like you aged 40 years because your joints don't work as well when you get up as they did when you sat down. Or when you first get out of bed, you feel a little stiff. But as you move around, that stiffness tends to go away. But the thing about connective tissue is if you think of fascia like a river, daily living is actually laying down sediment in the river slow, and where sediment loves to live is in your joints. And the really big communication between the nervous system and our body are these mechanoreceptors that live in our joints. And if the connective tissue loses its fluid perfusion around joints, it alters the way that the brain is connecting to where our joints are. That can alter sensory motor control, our movement behavior, our overall function. But if the nervous system starts to have trouble managing our overall stability on every level can change. So not just like how well you balance on a Bosu ball, but I'm talking about emotional, psychological, chemical, neurological stability can change. And when that happens, if you never address the issues in your connective tissue, you start getting symptoms that seem a lot more noticeable, not just even joint aches and pains, but now you're feeling exhausted in the middle of the day, you're having trouble digesting certain types of food, you suddenly are gaining weight for no reason. And for as exhausted and fatigued as your body starts to feel, at night when you try to fall asleep, you can't. And that's a problem, because at night, if you can't fall asleep or stay asleep, you're waking up the next day with a backlog of accumulative stress, not just in your fascial system, but your nervous system. And this is one of the key factors of what not only causes persistent pain, but it's actually what accelerates your aging process.
So for anybody that has any of those symptoms, you, instead of just popping a pill, or thinking I need to inhibit my nervous system, which is what most of those pain pills do, is they're inhibiting what you feel. If you address the fluid perfusion of fascia, you can actually entirely change how your nervous system is functioning and improve neurological efficiency by way of your fascial system. So really, they're inseparable. The fascial system and the nervous system are kind of like a superpower couple in the body, right? One is the most complex, your nervous system, and one is the most abundant material in the body. And together, they are the stability system of the body. So if you want to maintain efficient mobility, you can't be efficiently mobile if you're inefficiently stable. So the stability system is the neurofascial system, and that's what we address in MELT.
And really, you can change that in just 10 minutes.
Yes, actually, the cool thing about fascia is because it's a fluid system and it's three-dimensional, if you know how to tap into the fluid system, you can alter your nervous system very quickly. And you had mentioned the ball, one of the balls of the kit. And, you know, in our hands, there's so many sensory receptors because, again, we've got lots of joints in our hands, feet, right? There's more joints in our hands and feet than the rest of the body along the spine, right? So if you treat your hands, it actually helps for better neural signaling. It helps the nervous system redirect information about where our joints are in relationship to our center of gravity. So as you start to treat your hands and feet, it actually helps the stress response of the nervous system come down and the repair processes come back up online. Because if we stay in a high stress state for too long, it actually alters the nervous system's repair processes. And I mentioned it before, at night, we need sleep because that's where our repair processes are dominant. So if we don't get a restful night's sleep, we wake up the next day with a backlog of that stress accumulation. And after a while, your nervous system kind of thinks that tipped scale is the balanced state. And it just takes one too many nights of bad night's sleep, and now you're running into not only feeling sick or fatigue, but really causing dis-ease or disease of the body. So this is, again, a way for people to not allow our aging process to be a negative one, but to boost our body's processes of repair every day so that as we age, because we know when we age, we have less cell proliferation, right? We are losing muscle mass every day. But if we support the repair processes of the body, we really slow down the effects of aging that we would consider the negative effects of aging.
Wow. Ooh, we have a caller on the line, Sue. We have Lori from New York.
Hi, Sabrina. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Lori.
How are you doing today?
Wonderful.
Wonderful. I just had a question, and I may be ahead of it a little bit, but I'm new to learning about this MELT method, and I was wondering, for someone who may be older or not be able to do certain things like on the floor versus something with a chair or a wall or something, is there part of this that does not have to be done, like on the floor, for someone that has trouble getting up and getting down there?
Yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of the method, is that the method really meets anybody wherever they're at. We work with young and old, athletic, injured. It doesn't matter. So something like the hand treatment, you can do sitting at a table. The foot treatment, you don't even need to be standing up. You can sit down and do that one. A lot of the techniques, we have another roller. Instead of just a full round roller, we have a half roller. And I have a lot of people who do a lot of the techniques in bed. Even when my mom was recovering from her knee surgery, I had her do a lot of the techniques in her bed to improve the blood flow around the knee so that she was repairing more efficiently. So there's a lot of techniques you can do up against a wall. So that's really the beauty, is that we have people who couldn't get down on the floor when they first started. And as they started doing some of the techniques that they were able to manage, they slowly got better and better in their mobility, and they took that chance to get down on the floor. And I think the really beautiful thing about that is
I think a lot of people's fear was, well, I could get down on the floor, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to get back up. And right. after doing melt for a number of weeks, they're saying, hey, not only can I get down on the floor, I'm confident I can get back up off the floor. And that's it, is that you build up your body's you start to restore your mobility by, again, improving stability. Because when you're more stable, you move more efficiently. So that's it. Is, you know, you just take milk in small pieces. You do the 10-minute treatments, and you see which treatments you're able to do, the ones you can do in bed, on the YouTube channel. If you go to Melt Method, there's a do-it-yourself video series where I use a towel, and people can do and just try it. Some of the techniques, using a towel and see if they sense a change. And again, if you can't get down on the floor, lie on your bed and start there and work your way toward the floor.
Wow, that's great. So encouraging, Sue. That's wonderful. Well, I look forward to learning more about this, and thank you so much for that answer.
Absolutely. And by the way, there's lots of MELT instructors in New York, and I'll be back at the end of the month doing a class at Sports Club LA, the Equinox over on the Upper West Side. So just pointing that out. But if you go to meltmethod.com and you click on Find an Instructor, you might find an instructor that might be nearby whom you're talking about. And if they need a little bit of extra help, you know, sometimes just having somebody with you can get somebody to do more than they
right.
would think. That's always
great. So good to know. Thank you so much, Sue. Take care. And thank you, Sabrina.
You bet, Lori. Thanks for calling in. Wow. So easy to do. That's the beauty of MELT.
It works. That's
it.
It
does.
Easy and it works.
Yep. I can't believe it. It's already time for another break. But when we come back, we're talking with Sue Hitzman of the Melt Method. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some things that you've had or you've mentioned and talked about in your blog. And some of it is not only about the physical, but we're going to talk about some emotional traumas and some stability in that area as well. So when we come back, you're listening to Live the Good Life Show with Sabrina Wright and Sue Hitzman of the Melt Method. So stay tuned. We'll be back soon.
Pure Body Extra is backed by science. Thousands of five-star reviews. And the money-back guarantee. If you're ready to experience the goodness that comes from being toxin-free, try Pure Body Extra today.
For more information, visit therightbalance.com. That's therightbalance.com.
Who taught you or your kids how to handle stress? That's right, no one. I'm combat veteran Deb Lewis. And I'm on a mission to change that. My new children's book, Why is Pono Not Pono Today, is set in Hawaii. Lovable characters, Pono the Bull and his friend Kuleana, show us how a stressful situation ends happily. Look closer to reveal powerful ways to handle all types of stress. Start loving your stress-filled life today. Go to mentallytoughwomen.com.
It's time to get your life back on Burn Bright Today with Jennifer Marcinelli. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to move from the darkness of burning out to the light of burning bright. Jennifer is redefining stress and the energetic causes of burnout, shining a light on the process to get your life back. For more information about Jennifer and her work, visit BurnBrightToday.com.
Are you ready to experience full body system wellness? Tune in to the Empower Me Show with Pam Bright, a spiritual toolbox for your life. Embrace the fullness of who you are as a spiritual being, having a human experience. Pam Bright is a multidimensional healer, light language channel, energy intuitive, and spiritual transformation coach. Join her for a rich conversation about how to unlock all your spiritual gifts. Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio.
Life can be demanding, but sometimes our wheels are spinning and we're too focused on making them turn to notice we're stuck in the mud. Tune into The Pause with me, Ellen Wyoming Deloy, every second and fourth Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Learn how to stop, reflect, and start moving forward with intention. And if you're really looking to jumpstart your personal development, schedule a free coaching consultation with me at EllenWyomingDeloy.com.
In a roundabout of dysfunction, stop circling around difficult issues and find out what's been holding you back. Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
I mean, it seems fairly appropriate, right?
Sue Hickman in the Mount Method here. You're listening to Live the Good Life Show. And
oh, my God. That's hilarious.
You didn't choke, did you?
Oh, my God. So funny.
So during the break, we were talking about pain, disease, and joy. And so I told you that I was introduced to Mouth about a year ago, and I've been pretty faithful in learning all about Mouth, but just practicing on myself and recommending it to clients that I work with. I ended up getting Sue's second book, Mouth Performance, and was quite taken and impressed with the foreword, which is given by Dr. Eric Dalton, who is the founder of the Freedom from Pain Institute. And one of the things that he writes in this foreword, if I may share, is that in Melt Performance, Sue teaches us how to get ahead of the factors that contribute to injury and pain so we can perform at our highest level. She makes clear the optimum health requires a seamless continuum of proactive care, not just reactive rehab. That's important, I think. He also goes on to say, I hope that this work changes your perspective, the person reading this and learning Melt Performance, changes your perspective on healthcare. You should have the mindset that you, both personally and professionally, are a powerful player in the quest to get upstream of lifestyle-induced stress and injury conditions. By following Sue's protocols, we can upgrade our lives and accelerate quality outcomes for all. That is quite a testimony in your foreword, and I have to agree with him. Melt, I have found, is very simple. The important thing is that you're consistent with it, whether you realize what your body is doing in its change, and see, over a period of time is going to have incremental impact and profound long-term changes.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, think of not like brushing your teeth. You brush your teeth daily so that your breath stays fresh, but you actually are also brushing your teeth daily to prevent tooth decay in the future. So when people say, like, well, how often do I have to melt? I'm like, how often do you have to breathe? Like, just do it daily. Just do it every day. Why not? Just once a day, give yourself permission, go into your body, sense what you feel, connect with where you are, and then, you know, check in and have some sort of positive self-care regimen that you have. I think this is something that people don't do, and that's one of the things that Eric said is really important that people hear, because I get it. A lot of people feel that they're very proactive with their healthcare, but in fact, what most people are is reactive. We do things after we've got a problem, and then we try to fix something. We think, well, I don't have that, so what do I care? But the thing is, aging is not a disease. They're not going to find a cure for it, okay? It's happening to you right now. It's happened to me. Although I always say, I know I'm aging really, but I really just want to do it later in life. So what I do is I become very proactive every day. I check in. I see how I feel. I give back to my body. I don't rely on my DNA and my good genetics. I check in and make sure that I'm adding to the quality of my day-to-day to ensure a better tomorrow. And that is proactivity. That's what we need to do.
That's terrific. So not only is it so right now we've been in a state, a high anxiety state, a state the last couple of years where there's a lot of stress, there's a lot of unknowns, there's a lot of mental and emotional turmoil that's going on with people, and we're losing our joy, right? We're losing our joy. So on your blog, in your blog, you actually talk about how MELT can help people heal from emotional traumas and anxiety and those things that affect us emotionally and mentally. Can you discuss that a little bit?
I mean, I have so much to say about this because I noticed in my own personal story, my own personal journey over, you know, I think probably many lifetimes, but for sure over this lifetime. But first, you know, you're talking about there is a lot of stress right now. And what it really comes down to is recognizing that the opposite of love isn't hate, it's fear. And when we're fearful, if we begin to become fearful of one another because of illness, because we're scared to die, what we need to do is practice the understanding the art of being compassionate and understanding that life is impermanent, that we have this opportunity to come together and find joy. And even in times of stress and grief, that we have a choice to suffer or not. And if we can remember that, we can really be more solid in our form and our very being. So where MELT really helps is when we don't feel good, it can really mess with our mind. And our mind, I would say, is kind of a terrible thing because it can talk us into a box if we let it. So we need to realize that our body, when we're in pain or we're ill, isn't working against us. We can't badmouth our body. Like, why is my body doing this? You know, I don't understand this. And what we're doing is we're getting into the minutia of the mind, and the mind can perpetuate pain. And connective tissue is really where we hold a lot of memory. And although this isn't scientifically proven, we know that our bodies react to our emotions. You know, when you're happy, you kind of see when somebody's happy. And when somebody's sad, you know, if your friend comes in and they're like, hey, you're like, are you all right? And they're like, yeah, I'm okay. And you're like, I'm going to hug it up. And the second that you get that hug, what happens? You bawl, right? You get that touch. That connection is what allows our body to let go of the fear, of the worry, of the pain. And I think that's where MELT is so, I think, necessary, because healing really, again, starts inside of ourselves. So if we give ourselves that conscious and loving awareness to go into our bodies to care for ourselves, it shifts the way the brain and the body are communicating. And through fashion, we can really change how we feel. And if we have emotions that are truly trapped in our body, they call them somato-emotional releases, and I've experienced those. I think, and I wrote it in the MELT Performance book, that when I had that foot pain, the crazy thing is, after I can reflect back and say, you know, literally a year before the day my father died was when my foot started to hurt me. And I think what it was my frequency, my energy, was recognizing his spirit was going to depart. It was going to depart. And it was like as if I was being upheld from the foundation of my father's home, of what my dad said was who I needed to be and how I needed to act. And when he died, you know, it wasn't that the pain disappeared. It didn't. In fact, I think it got so erupted in me because I needed to realize that who I was finally free to be me without the judgment of him. And it changed everything for me that year. And I think that it made me really understand that pain, emotional trauma can be worse than physical trauma. And just a few years after my dad had passed away, 9/11 happened, so I did get the rude awakening of post-traumatic stress disorder in New York City. And so into my office came people who didn't have physical pain. They had emotional pain. They lost their brothers, their sisters, their moms, dads, friends. And the pain that they had, they couldn't associate it with what was happening. But we are a beautiful spirit inside of a physical form that in our spirit, if we can heal the spirit, we can heal the form. And I know that might sound very ethereal and very up in the air, but energy is not something, fabricated in the spirit world. Energy is physics, and we are nothing but energy, and energy just changes form. So by treating fascia, fascia has a frequency, it has a vibration, it is how we communicate, and if you learn to treat and tap into connective tissue, it really does alter all of the aspects of the of physical, emotional, chemical, and neurological form that we are, and it can help us to heal. And that's where we need to understand that we're more than our emotions, we're more than our thoughts, and if we allow that to be true, we have much more ability to heal ourselves and to trust that we can heal.
Wow, that's amazing. I want to make sure that our listeners know that this is a call-in show. So if there are any questions that you want to ask Sue, you can dial in at 1-800-930-2819. That's 1-800-930-2819. Get your calls in to Sue. Let her answer your specific interests, right? So much. The thing is, it's beautiful and it's impactful in such a really subtle way. Who knew? I mean, we're complex individuals, not only emotionally, physically, but mentally, all of it. We're complex. And we don't have avenues or practitioners in our lives who teach us how to steward and take care of our bodies, right?
Well, we should, but you're right. I mean, we're not taught self-care, right? We're not taught, we almost learn it. Like if you've been neglected in your childhood, you kind of figure out how to do things on your own, but nobody kind of teaches you that. You just sort of figure it out, right? So we're not taught how to care for ourselves. It's sort of trial and error. So whereas back, when there were shamans and tribes and, we would care for one another and the community would care for one another, it's sort of like we're left out on our own. Like, hey, once you're 18, you are out of this house. I don't need to pay child support anymore. I'm going to help you out, whatever it is. You got to figure it out yourself. And there's a lot of that mindset for people where I remember that for me when I got into my 20s, and I thought for sure, by the time I got out of college, I was going to have this great career, and I was going to have a lot of money and all these things, and when that just didn't show up, it was depressing. I mean, I got myself very depressed that I wasn't good enough. Like, why couldn't I do it? And oddly, when my dad said, whatever gave you that thought? And I was like, well, you did. He goes, did I do that? It's like, I didn't even know, right? So sometimes our parents do to us what then we end up doing to ourselves. And so we need to unwrap those neural pathways and create the pruning and kind of kill those thought viruses that we have, that we're not good enough, that we need to suffer, or we're not going to be loved, we're not going to be accepted. And gosh, if I'm me and I expose who I am, somebody's going to shame me and people are going to hate me. And there's a lot of that out there, which is, again, part of what causes people to suffer and not go back to how you heal, which is out of love. You can't heal if you don't love yourself.
And you were remarkably intentionally created for abundance,
a good life, for so many amazing things. Life is the journey of figuring out who you are and what that gift is and how you can use it. I mean, it's like the grandest puzzle ever. And it's all good because through every challenge and hardship, there's a lesson to be learned and a blessing to be received.
Yes, not only for yourself, but for the people you connect with. Like I always say, the universe loves us. The universe wants us to have joy and abundance and love and prosperity. And even when one of us gets injured or something, you know, post-traumatic stress injury, trauma, whatever it is, but it's not just your trauma. It's my trauma. It's our trauma, right? And so we learn together how to love, how to have the greatest blessing, which is life itself. And we, you know, some people are going to die young. Some people are going to live long lives, but we wouldn't understand love if we didn't have loss or grief. I mean, when my husband died a couple of years ago, it shattered so much of my heart. I mean, I remember just the devastation when it first happened and what was happening in front of me that culminated into his death. And I remember someone saying to me, you know, your interpretation of grief is so loving. And I said, you know, the cracks are where the love shines through. So it's a learning for me of how deeply I love. Like grief is just love with no place to go, right? So it teaches you how to love and to honor love and to honor your friends and your family and just life itself. Life is short and it's fleeting. So for every moment that we're here, life's a gift. And we need to, if we can allow that to be part of our story, even when we have pain or we are suffering, I think it can change us to coming back to love, which is, again, I think that's it. That's what it's all about. It's so easy, actually. It's a simple life. It's about love.
So simple, it's hard to comprehend. It's that simple. We do have a caller. We have Lisa from California. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, ladies. How are you? I thank you both for your time and for sharing this incredibly profound method. Sue, I continue to be in awe. I have the pleasure of practicing melt with Andrea at Studio A, and I go all the time, and I do it at home, and my life has been absolutely dramatically changed for all the reasons, from prevention of pain to, you know, eating more water-filled foods and sipping more water and spreading love and all the things that you endorse and talk about. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And I had to pop off and take a phone call from my son, so you may have talked about this, but I have to tell you that I had a procedure done, and I wasn't able to do any roller work for about a week. But I kept doing my hands and feet, right, because I could do that. I could do my hands. I could do my feet gently. But I have to say, I was talking to Andrea, and I said, Andrea, I wasn't able to do anything for a week. And when I went to go do my first rest assess on the floor, I couldn't believe how I was still so balanced. And I want to think it's because there's lingering, lasting effects of the melt, you know, all my maps that I would do all the time anyway. But it's because I kept doing my hands and feet when I wasn't able to do even a rebalancing sequence.
Yes, I always kind of think of melt as a little bit like taking an anti-inflammatory. You don't take it once and then, you know, you think you're going to fix the problem. If you continue to build it up, actually your body, what I call a body baseline, does start to change where the common imbalances are less and they cause less effect over time. So the hands and feet, I know this sounds crazy, but the hands and feet it's the foundation of the method. I think of melt like a pyramid, and at the base is your hands and feet, because that's where neural signaling originates back to the brain, is through touch and sensory reception. So you did exactly the right fit here is that you melted your hands and feet even while you were recovering, and you didn't just do nothing, which is what builds the tolerance to come back faster, and you aided yourself in healing, which is genius. So good for you for being a big self-care advocate. And, of course, big shout-out to Andrea. She is amazing. Oh, she's one of our class instructors. You're in good hands.
You're amazing. Yeah, well, hopefully you can come back again like you did that one time when we could all experience you. But Thurkin couldn't believe how quickly I healed. Everything. He was like, and I told him, I said, I take certain products and I do this melt method. And he's like, well, I want to know more about it. And so it really was, and I've tried to explain that to my mom, who's 83. Don't discount your hands and feet, Mom. Don't just think you have to get on the roller to do the work. Like, hands and feet are profound, and I love that lingering, lasting, almost muscle memory that my body had, and that even when I was kind of incapacitated for a short time, I could still have profound results from using these little tiny balls on my hands and feet. So thank you. I sing your praises everywhere I go. I cannot thank you and Andrea enough for sharing this system that you've designed, and you're brilliant, and I'm in awe, so thank you.
Oh, my gosh. My life is abundant. I mean, I can't, like, how can I not continue to do this, period, right? I mean,
right.
It is a privilege to help people and to watch how they own it, right? You know, I mean, you hear it in her voice. She owned her self-care, and she cared for herself, and this is huge. And the other thing people need to hear is connective tissue, fascia, that's where scars develop. Scars are part of our healing journey, but a scar kind of has an on button with no off button. And if you melt, what it does is it decreases that tacking down of unnecessary tissue beyond where the scar really needs to lay down, because the body doesn't really know where to end the scarring and the adhesion. So if we sit still for too long after a surgery, it actually creates too much tacking of fascia and the thickening of scar tissue that can cause long-term effects. And so what she's saying is she actually kind of took her healing into her own hands and helped her body heal faster and decrease the unnecessary accumulation of scar tissue, and she got better faster. And that's beautiful.
Thank you so much, Lisa. I really appreciate you calling in. We have one more caller before we finish this show. And this caller, Denise from New York. Hi, Denise.
Hi there. How are you?
Fantastic. What's your question for Sue?
Hey, Sue, I think she may have partly answered this, but can this help for built-up scar tissue? Like my husband, actually me too, had surgery maybe 3 or 4 years ago. His was pretty significant because it was colon resection, and he now suffers with a lot of residual back pain, which I think might possibly be scar tissue.
100%. So, Denise, the thing about abdominal surgery is that the abdomen is literally cylinders of fascial tissue. There are membranous layers. And so when you have a colon surgery, the colon and the mesentery, like another component of it, is adhered on the backside of the tissue, and it can significantly affect the low back. So we actually, my claim to fame, I guess, is this. I did a low back pain research study because after working on like 10,000 people who had any type of pain, they all had chest mark back pain, and a lot of them have had abdominal surgeries, like cesareans and colon surgeries. And when the scarring starts to happen, it thickens the tissue around what's called the thoracolumbar fascia, which is what kind of sandwiches all the muscles of the low back together. And it thickens the tissue. And when fascia becomes too thick, it alters sensory motor control. So the brain can't send messages down to the muscle because the fascia is, in fact, kind of blocking those sensory nerves from sending the motor response back and forth. So the best way to start in this is doing the foot treatment, then the lower body compression sequence. So you don't want to go right to the low back. You're going to go to the lower body compression sequence, try to draw fluid flow back to the low back, and then I would recommend, if his back is really bad still, doing a half roller or going to YouTube and looking at the do-it-yourself lower body length techniques where he puts his pelvis on the roller. And what happens with a lot of people when you get abdominal surgeries is that the brain kind of works like a GPS system, and it's trying to find your pelvis, which is your center of gravity. And if it can't, you lose the mobility of your pelvis. So there's techniques that he can learn to restore that neural connection, which will minimize his low back pain and actually improve his mobility so that he can get back into active living.
That's exciting. Wow. Thank you so much, Sue and Denise. Thanks for calling in. You guys, this conversation, I wish we had more time. There's so much here. Sue, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for taking the time to meet today, to share about MELT. Ladies and gentlemen, listeners of Transformation Talk Radio, Live the Good Life Show, go to meltmethod.com for your MELT products. Use the promo code LiveTheGoodLife. Get your discount. Thank you so much. If you want any more information, you know where to reach us on Instagram, on Facebook, on our website. I'm Sabrina Ray. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Live the Good Life Show with Sabrina Wright. Tune in on the second Thursday of next month at 11 a.m. Pacific for more tips, tricks, and insights to help you invest in your best self. Find balance in your lifestyle and watch yourself evolve into who you're meant to be. For more information about Sabrina and her services, visit therighttalents.com. That's the right, W-R-I-G-H-T, balance.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
Happy Thursday, Eric Ryder here with you on KKNW. We're approaching noon, time for a quick look at our traffic. Things looking pretty good in the Seattle, Everett, and Tacoma area.